Hello, Susie. What's up?
Happy New Year, groomers. Welcome to episode 193 of the Groom Pod, recorded on December 23rd, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shots, Show Season, Stasco, South Park, and Evolution Shears. And I also want to mention hi to Deb in Texas right now.
Oops, is Deb in Texas a new Patreon?
No, she's not a new Patreon, but she was wondering if we were still getting her money because we hadn't mentioned it for a few weeks. So,
oh my God. Don't worry, everybody. We're getting your money. Thank you. And we appreciate every one of you and every little dollar.
It's true. And the Groom Pod, we managed to cover all our expenses and pay Barbara a little for her time and me as well.
Yay!
So, yeah, it's working. So thank you.
When we answered that question about I'm new and what would be a good line for me to just go to.
Yeah.
We should have mentioned Stasco because that's exactly what that line is. It's just a good all-purpose cover your bases kit. You know, there's nothing in there that I don't totally love every one of his things. I didn't like the ear cleaner particularly, but nonetheless, that answered the question, you know?
Yes.
And here he is, a sponsor.
A lovely tip there. So this week on the Groom Pod, aside from all of those little tidbits we just were chatting about, we're going to talk about the chin hold that we were discussing on our Facebook page, facebook.com/group/thegroompod. We're going to learn about keratin protein. So this episode is sponsored by Stasco Conditioning Spray. You can find them at Groomers Mall and Ryan's. You can support the Groom Pod by going to our website, www.thegroompod.com, and you can find our Amazon banner, Patreon button, and the donation button. Barbara, the donation button has been active this week.
We got donations?
We got two $100 donations.
Oh, no wonder I got paid.
Yeah.
So I loved it. Merry Christmas to us, huh?
So that's from Jeannie Tucker and Brittany Irig. I think that's how you say your last name. Thanks to both of you guys. I sent half of that right out to Barbara and stuck half of it in the Groom Pod account. So there we go. I also wanted to mention, if you guys are looking for a recirculating bathing system, hit up Barbara's website, which is www.shop.bbird.biz. And she's got a great deal on those bathing beauties. Okay, Barbara, tell me about your week.
One of the things that happened this week is, remember the Laza Opso man that emailed me wanting to use me as a backup groomer for his show coat?
I remember it like it was last week.
Wow, you're so bright. What can I say? So I sent him the email that I was in the midst of composing while we talked last week. I was really pretty blunt, and I just said, you know, like, more or less, I don't want to just be your backup when you get to be in a mess, you know.
You can hear the whole letter if you play last week's podcast. So if you haven't, then you can stop this one right now, go back to last week's podcast and catch up. But there you go.
Well, anyway, he wrote me back. I didn't think I would ever hear from him again. And I kind of thought I wasn't hearing from him. And I was thinking, oh, well, dodge that bullet. Well, guess what? I did hear from him.
No way.
I just found it today when I came into my Gmail account without all of the other stuff in the way, you know, because the Gmail does filter out some of the noise.
You were so busy discovering all kinds of emails, weren't you?
So he just says, we really want to learn and look forward to meeting you. And then he sent me another one where he kind of clarified that what he meant by is that he's talking as though he's going to show the dog, and then I would be the one to do the pre-show groom.
Oh, well, that makes me way crazy nervous.
I know. It's kind of going from bad to worse. Well, no, I think we have an opportunity here to get it straightened out because we've both been pretty direct, you know. So that's a good sign. And I'm going to work with this guy and see if they can grow back their Lhasa Apso from a matted mess 7 blade to a show coat without my having to take total responsibility for it, right?
Right.
Like, God, that's the problem with being an expert, is that then you're responsible.
Especially when you say you're going to be willing to work with them. So did you find out how long it had been since the dog was shaved?
No, they didn't answer my question about that, but I will. I don't think it's been too terribly long.
Well, that's at least a plus. So, that'll be a plus.
That was happening this week. And then the other thing that was happening this week is that I got pretty good at recommitting to making the table experience a happy thing for my dogs. Oh. So I'm giving out more treats as I groom. And yesterday I was able to actually groom my own little Leo, who hates it. I mean, my own dog is just like one of these crazy, don't touch me, not my legs kind of groomings.
Well, she's smaller than my foot, you know. She's tiny.
I know, she's tiny. And so then you have the added anxiety of, are you going to break her leg in two while she hops all around? But anyway, I was able to calm her down on the table by having an assistant give her treats as long as she stood still, you know. So I would kind of clue her when to give her another treat by saying, good girl, and she'd give her a treat. Boy, I got through a lot. I got a lot more done with her than I ever have in one sitting. You know, I really got a pretty good comb out.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I've always been of the mindset that dogs can really only grasp onto one emotion. So if you can distract them from the pissed off emotion and get to the yummy treat emotion, the pissed off emotion gets kind of shoved into the background more and more, and the other one comes to the forefront with them. They're simple that way, I think.
Well, let me tell you a funny, I have a funny story about the treat. So can I share it?
Please.
Well, you know, so I was dressed for Christmas this week, and that meant that I wanted to wear my top with the kind of Christmas theme on it, both Friday and Saturday. So I came home Friday and took it off, and then I thought, well, I don't want it to wrinkle up or anything, so I'll hang it up. So I hung it up on the shower frame in the bathroom on a hanger. And then I went to bed early because I had had a busy day. We had a pretty busy day on Friday. And about 11:30, I wake up to arr. And that's Marco. And he's in another room. And it sounds like he's got an animal cornered or something like that. Something is going on. He's talking to it. I know his tone. I know the difference between his alarm bark and his, you know, like got a something cornered bark. So I follow the bark and I go in the bathroom. He's on his tippy toes. I mean, if you're tippy toes, back legs, right? Tippy toes, standing up, barking at my shirt because I'd had treats in the pocket. Oh God, I mean, he is just dominated by his sense of smell. He is such an obsessive little dog, and he's just as obsessive about treats as he is about his ball.
That is funny. Know,
barking it in the middle of the night. Arr. He's just determined that if he shouts at it enough, it's going to somehow shimmy off that hanger into his mouth. And he's just like dancing on his back legs and trying to stand on his toenails.
Here's the million-dollar question. Did you reward that?
No.
Good for you.
No. I didn't put him in lockdown for it, but no, I sent him out of there.
Yeah, good enough.
No, we don't do that. But anyway, I think the increased use of treats in my grooming practice is really paying off. You know, it's also helping me to be a little bit more positive at the table.
Good for you.
I'm not just cursing the bad behavior. I am actually engaging with the animal in a happy way. Like, you're going to let me do this, aren't you?
You know what I've started doing, which I think is pretty funny? I realize that when I'm deep into one of these podcasts or audiobooks that I'm not verbally communicating with the dogs. So over the past couple months, I've been practicing talking while I'm listening.
Good
it's
for
a
you.
Bad habit, though. But I'll find myself listening to the audio and then talking to the dog and comforting the dog, and so that I'm not just working on the dog. I always want to pay attention to the dog. I always want them to feel pampered, like the
and
time they're
touch
with me
and in touch with you. Yes. I know. Yeah, I'm that way too, and I'm not terribly vocal, but I do use my voice a lot. And I wondered about that when I thought about groomers in mobiles with their headphones. It's easy to get dissociated.
That was the word exactly that I would use for it. So I use my hands. I use touch a lot.
Yeah.
I'm constantly touching with one hand while working with the other. But I realized that I was missing the element of the voice. And I've added the voice back in. And it does make them more comfortable, I think, when I'm just talking about nothing. Because they can't hear the stuff that's coming through my headphones. They used to have the radio on and they could hear that. But I realized that they don't have what's going on in my head. So I'm providing a little entertainment for them as I'm listening for myself. So this week I want to talk about two super cool gifts that I received in the mail. In the mail. I got gifts in the mail, Barbara.
Ah, okay. What'd you get?
Well, I'm feeling like it's pretty cool to be me. Just let me say that right off the bat.
I got one gift in the mail, so I'm curious as to whether we got the same thing.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm going to start out with my gift from my friend up north in British Columbia, and that's Faith Chipman, sent me some marshmallow cleansing shampoo.
Cool.
I've only used it on one dog. I really like it. For it not being a sulfate shampoo, since we all know that I'm pretty hooked on that, it was a lap dog. It was a Yorkie Shih Tzu in an assisted living home. So it's not like the dog is out getting super dirty, but it did a great job of cleaning and making her coat feel just fantastic. Not to mention, it smelled wonderfully. And I was worried about how it would work in the recirculator. And I look on the label and it says dilute 32:1. So I just poured in my normal amount that I would use with a shampoo of that dilution rate. And it seemed to work fantastic. I really liked it. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you, Faith. Did you get some of this?
I'm getting some of that. Because after you talked about it, I noticed that I had a messenger message from Faith, and she was offering me some, and I said, oh, yeah, let me try that, too. So it's coming.
Well, I got mine, and I have tested it, and my first impression is, wahoo, I love it.
Good. Great.
Yeah, if you're looking for something that doesn't have any of the stuff in it that you don't want to have in it, which in her case is no silicone, no sulfate, no betaine, and no parabens, for it not having any of that stuff, it still works as a good shampoo, in my opinion. I'll be interested to hear what Barbara has to say, because she comes at it from a little bit different angle than I do, but it delighted my senses. That's what I'll say. Okay, your turn. What did you get?
I got a gift from a groomer that it's like a keychain with a pair of scissors with a chakra gems in them. Yeah, and it's really cool. And I stuck it right on I've got a little pocket purse that I wear over the shoulder that just holds my iPhone and my credit cards. And I hung it on there, so it's a little decoration and shows that I'm a hairstylist.
I did not get one of those.
Oh, I thought maybe you would have gotten it.
Well, now I'm jealous of you, but you're going to be jealous of me in a minute because I got two presents this week. The second present came from Danica Cluett, and Danica works for Lady Bird line of grooming clothes.
Ah!
And I got the coolest. I'm going to let you see it, Barbara, because it's just the coolest grooming smock. Do you see those colors?
Oh, my colors.
Colors.
I've got the manicure that goes with that.
Oh, you do. I can see it. I can see it. Nice. So I did put a picture of myself in the grooming smock up on the Groom Pod discussion group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod. So you guys can see it for yourself. But I wanted to talk a little bit about it because I was blown away by a couple of innovations with this grooming smock. One of the things that really tickled me pink, and my cat just discovered it, is in this particular, they call it a bathing jacket. There are zippers on the bottom of the pockets. So if you get the dreaded poop in the pocket that happens sometimes when you're carrying a dog, you can unzip the bottom of the pocket and the poop will fall right out. Not to mention, in my case, I have treats in that pocket. I have dusty liver treats, and getting them cleaned out, getting the pockets officially cleaned out, it gets tangled in all the hairs. These are just so cool. You just zip it out and all the dust falls right out of the pocket, and I can stick my hands in there and not feel all that creepy liver dust that's in my pocket all the time, 24 hours a day. Man, they are nice. So if my mother was looking at this, she would say it was a really well constructed garment. The serging is top notch. The zippers are really, really, really heavy duty. They've got the cool bottom of the pocket zipper dealy. The other thing they have is it's kind of a boxy design, but they have this cool thing in the back that's kind of a cincher. So you don't have to tie a bow back there. You just grab either side and you pull on it and it cinches in your waist and looks attractive and shapely like a girl should look. And they have all kinds of different things. They've got vests, they've got aprons, and they also sent me grooming sleeves that are just the arm covers, and I can't wait to try them with cats. I think they're going to be really good for me with cats because it just protects you a little bit extra when I always wear short sleeve shirts. So I wanted to give her information since I got this for free and it is really cool. It's www.ladybirdline.com. She is in the Facebook discussion group, so you can probably contact her there underneath my picture as well. But I love my new clothes. Thank you so much, Barbara. I'm sorry you didn't get one.
I'm crying. Yeah. Me too. Well, I'm going to say something about the zipper pockets.
Yeah.
Be sure to unzip them frequently because I have an apron that I get from Ryan's Pet Supply, and it has the zipper pockets, but I didn't unzip them enough and the hair got all in there and now I can't unzip them. So be sure to do that at least weekly with your Ladybird garment or you'll pay the price.
Oh, thank you. That is great advice.
Use it or lose it advice regarding zippered pockets.
I love it. Cool. Thank you for those wonderful words of wisdom, Barbara. And I want to take just a brief moment to thank the people at Best Shot who have been our sponsors since the very first beginning of our sponsorships. And let's just take a moment to hear from them, and then we'll be back with our first appointment. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro-Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
On our Facebook discussion group, there was a question about holding on to the dog's chin when you're doing the face and what other kind of alternatives there are for that. And I know we did a podcast about that a little while ago, but I figured we'd discuss it again since it was...
I was particularly taken by this question because the questioner described being taught to, you know, like, hang on to that chin no matter what, you know, and I'm saying, oh, wait a minute, you know, like, wait, let's not do that, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not do that, because you get to a certain place and they just struggle more and they just put more force into pulling away, and it just spirals downward. This is one of my pet peeves. It drives me crazy when I can't hold the mouth steady. So there are some dogs you can't hold the chin hair, but there are some dogs where you can't put your fingers on top of the muzzle and hold the muzzle with your thumb under the chin, which is a fairly comfortable way to hold most dogs. The idea is you've got to have some assurance that that head isn't going to move while you put those scissors up around their eyes or their mouth, right? Because of one jerk, and you can either poke an eye or cut a lip or any number of things can go wrong. It's very important behavior to teach the dog. And this is just another reason why I'm starting to engage in this operant conditioning at the table stuff. So what else can you do, Susie?
Let's talk about the reason that you do it. And you kind of touched on that. You're dealing with sharp objects next to the eyes. And the other thing is the tongues pop out and they pop out. And if you've ever cut a tongue, it is the worst feeling.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it's the worst feeling. The worst tongue that I cut, I actually nailed it. I mean, just split the tongue. But I was working at the vet hospital, and we went straight in and sedated and sutured the dog's tongue up because there was no way to stop the bleeding on that tongue. That tongue was so fast and it popped out of the mouth because I was not holding the jaws shut in any way. And I knew this dog was a licker and it was my mistake. She was fighting me and I just let that tongue sneak out, and it just took one second. And I knew before the blood even started that I had gotten it, and I didn't get it that badly, but it did need a stitch. And if I had been mobile at that point, I would have probably had an aneurysm. Absolutely, positively had an aneurysm. The other one I recently nicked on the side of the tongue, or actually he licked the scissor with the side of his tongue. That one was not nearly as serious as the first one, but it is really important when we're dealing with these sharp objects that we have full control of the head of the dog. But having full control of the head is not to say that you need to hold the hair with a vice grip every single time. And there are just occasions where that doesn't work. Just like you were saying, Barbara, some dogs hate that kind of restraint. So you use the over the top of the nose thing. That's a really good effective way. There's another grip you can do kind of behind the head. I don't like that grip as much because I've seen it pop a Shih Tzu eye out and nobody wants that.
No.
So I'm a ponytail wearer. I have been a ponytail wearer my whole life. And as both a gymnast and a dancer, my mother routinely tortured me by pulling my hair up into a ponytail and sticking pins in my head. I mean, in any number of ways, she would stretch it out. And I know it's painful, especially if you don't have a hold of a lot of hair. Like if my mom was holding just a small amount of hair and she was trying to get a tangle out and really didn't secure the hair, that was really an annoying feeling. Holding my whole ponytail, not so bad. So sometimes the grip you use underneath the dog, depending on how much hair you have down there, can make it more comfortable or not so much comfortable. But we got to talk about the elephant in the room, if you will, or maybe we'll call it the Limburger in the room. It's bad teeth. Bad teeth are your worst problem if you're trying to control a head by using any of the facial restraint manners, huh?
Yeah, because everything hurts. Everything you do then hurts. And so that really creates a resistance, understandably so, right?
Yeah, so there we have to come up with some alternatives. So what are some of the alternatives you use?
Well, I had one yesterday, Little Teddy, as opposed to Medium Teddy, Israeli Teddy, or any of the other teddies that we've groomed.
I know. I've got lilies coming out of every orifice everywhere.
So Little Teddy has face issues, and he will bite. He's never actually bit me, but he snaps at me, and I don't like that at all. Nope. So I have to do the best I can. Well, what I did yesterday is, like, for one thing, not to come full straight forward. It can be less threatening to them because, you know, like straight nose to nose is very dominant behavior.
Sneaking up the side of the face.
Yeah, so sneaking up the side of the face or even doing from the side, but protecting with your other hand, your scissors in a way, so that if they move into the scissors, they're going to hit your hand before they hit the scissors. So you can use your hand in a defensive kind of a mode. But I actually worked from the side of the face and from behind and from on top. And where I just wasn't able to get yesterday was under the eyes. I just couldn't, there was no way I could get any tools under there. And he snapped at me. And so he was done. I'm sorry. You know, and he's not muzzled, you know, like other dogs, I could muzzle to do around the eyes and even underneath the eyes, because you can pull the hair out there and then take the muzzle off to get the chin and around the mouth. Yeah, I just don't agree. I think that it's better to let go of that when they're pulling it, because otherwise you just get this who can pull the hardest kind of contest, a tug of war with the damn whiskers. And so if you just let go, it kind of neutralizes the situation. And sometimes you can even hold underneath their chin with the back of your hand, or, you know, like in ways where you're not actually gripping, but you're providing some steadying action there. And there again, I think treats can come in handy, because I think you could kind of get them to do more of that.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? I always am a proponent of using all of my support systems, right? The groomer's helper, cross tie with my lip system, which I find is really important for dogs that don't want their face accessed because I can hold them a little bit stiller and have some more predictability in the way they're going to move. I always say, if the dog is fighting you, change something. Something's not right, change it. It can be a subtle change. It can be a big change. If the dog is pulling against you, try pushing against the dog, just like you were saying. There's also that notch underneath the dog's chin that kind of makes a natural thumb hold. If you need it, you can just put it between those two bones a little bit and get a little bit more ability to control the chin that way without having to get your hands in there. But I also go to the muzzles sometimes. I'll use vet wrap sometimes. But some of these dogs that have such a difficult time with the face, it's because they have no pronounced muzzle and they also have really high wrinkles, so that when they get eye goobers on top of really high wrinkles, it's easy to just nick the end of the wrinkle accidentally with your scissors. Do that once and that dog is going to not trust any scissors anywhere around those wrinkles ever again. So I find those to be some of the most challenging of all. What I found to be helpful with them is a soft Elizabethan cone, an e-collar, right? Yeah. But a soft one so that I can put it around. I put the dog into the cross tie with the groomer's helper and the lips. And then I put a cone on and then I can come up and push the bottom of the chin up into the cone. And then I can get in up on top without risking that head moving up and I can get in and get some of that stuff that you had a difficult time with on that other dog.
Yeah, you should make a video of that.
Okay. I could, yeah. My biggest problem is my groomer's helper is in the corner, so I can't really get a good angle of it. But if I got somebody in there to video me, like just my husband.
Yeah, like your husband.
Yep. Also, I will do it in the tub because I find that the dogs being wet is sometimes enough of a distraction to be able to get in there and just piece by piece pick away with my scissors a little bit at a time in at some of those sticky outies. And that's another thing. Do a little bit here or there and then go work somewhere else and then come back to it. Don't just steady in and focus and get frustrated and get the dog frustrated by focusing in on the face the whole time. I think that's another sneaky.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's one of the few exceptions I make to my principle of be systematic. I think that being able to, when you're doing a having some kind of resistance to kind of ignore it for a minute, go do something else can be helpful.
and getting the dog wet, having a wet face. Then you can pull up hairs and they stick out and the dog is distracted by the wetness and the bath and all of that. And that helps, you know, anytime you can distract the dog. Sometimes I use the owner to help me hold the dog. You know, sometimes they just are a little bit better when the owner, but you have to be able to trust the owner because they can't let go or things happen. But, but a properly trained.
Well, some owners are very good helpers and some suck. And that's just the truth. And you find out very quickly, if they're going to, you know, I do all of my cat grooming with the owner's assistant. So I just have a real ability to kind of find out right away whether that's going to work or not. You know,
Yeah, and the dogs behave differently, sometimes better, sometimes worse. Yeah.
And I always tell my owners that I've always found that cats do better with their owners. But you're right. Dogs can be too distracted and they can refuse to take you seriously when their owner is there. So I always prelude with, you know, if this... this might not work.
Yeah. The only time I have the toughest spot I have to get on the dogs can be the chin. Because I've managed to figure out everything above the equator. But the chin sometimes is a problem. And I have found that sometimes you just have to leave some chin.
here's a way that I've done that allows you to get chin, and that's to take a used piece of pantyhose.
A what? Or a what?
Pantyhose.
What are those?
Well, or a knee high.
Okay, I've seen them.
But you see, it's a stretchy nylon, and you tie it around the muzzle, and then you hold up in front of their eyes with the tie.
I like
it. And then you can get the bottom of the chin like that.
Ah, I'm going to try that. That's neat.
See, there's another way.
Yes, mother of invention, you know.
I don't have any more used knee high, so I haven't been using that in a few years, and that's why you had no idea. But, you know, that those things, dollar store, Susie.
Dollar store, yeah, okay. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. The last thing we could add is that if you are lucky enough to get a puppy, then you get the golden ticket because you can teach that puppy how to be handled in the face, even though some of them are not going to have it even at puppy stage. But I think lots of treats and lots of love and lots of practice and a little bit here or there. And if you get the luck of having a good puppy, that's the best of all. All right. Well, let us talk a little bit about South Park Professional Pet Products in our little sponsorship ad for them. They've also been with us for quite a long time. Not quite as long as Best Shop, but darn close. And so here we go. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Let's start out with our vocabulary term this week, which is dry eye. Do you have dry eye?
I have dry eye.
I think I might have dry eye.
Is it a term or is it a name of a condition, right?
It's a condition, yeah. It's a very painful condition.
Well, can just be an annoying. I think it has grades of discomfort.
Yes, and it is when you don't produce enough tears, and it can be for any variety of reasons. There's lots of reasons. My husband had LASIK surgery, and he doesn't produce tears anymore. I had a nose job, and when they did my nose job, it opened up my tear ducts so that the water just runs out all the time. So I've got the opposite problem. But you can recognize it in the dogs through oftentimes that yellow discharge. A lot of discharge around the eye. And in humans, it's like cement, and it's very uncomfortable. And you're right, it has degrees. It can range from mildly irritating to creating ulcers and infections and actually wrecking the quality of life for the dog. But it is treatable with drops. So if you see dry eye during your grooming adventures, you might suggest a vet visit, and hopefully they can get some drops for the dog.
I often just recommend that they use something OTC, you know, like just as long as it's not a complicated product, plain eye, you know, dry eye drops can be used for dogs. That's a lot of vets just prescribe that, just tell them to get that. But the dry eye is more often with older animals, just as it is with older people. Just shit stops working.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I only say have it checked the first time by the vet because of the ulcer issues. Ulcers and infections that are created secondarily, sometimes from the eye goobers scratching the eye, sometimes just from the eyelids scratching the eyes. So if you're seeing it and they haven't been looked at once by the doctor, I say send them to the doctor once. But you are absolutely right. They're just going to give them saline. They're going to give them lubricating eye drops. And that's the best thing you can do. And if the dog's been seen before, then just say, hey, I think you need to get back on the drops. So there's that. All right. Our grooming glossary. You can tell I'm unmotivated. Grooming glossary this week is puppy. Do you know what makes a puppy?
What makes a puppy? Well, how is puppy defined?
Thank you.
Well,
that's what I mean.
In dog show terms, it's a youngster that's not yet a year old.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I always throw it around because it seems like some dogs are puppies till a year and a half and other ones are only puppies for like 9 months. But
right. Yeah,
theoretically.
Technically.
Yeah.
Technically, AKC-wise, it's under a year.
Yes, under a year.
But you're right. There are a lot of dogs that don't grow up until they're, especially larger breed dogs, don't fully mature physically or mentally until they're 2 years old or so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Having never been a dog breeder or even into the show thing, I was kind of guessing at that, but it just sure seems that it seems that way to me. All right, how about I pass the buck to you, Barbara, and you tell me about keratin protein for our definition du jour.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about keratin protein that's caught my interest again because I'm reviewing the iGroom keratin and charcoal and keratin shampoo and their detangler. So they have a lot of keratin in their product. And I'm wondering, like, why would we want to have keratin and vegetable protein in a preparation? The reason is that nothing else quite mimics or duplicates the protein content of keratin. It's high in cysteine. And cysteine and others just don't even have cysteine. So, you know, like vegetable proteins and animal proteins are not always replaceable. And in this case, keratin, you just can't quite imitate it, right?
Right.
But here's the deal that we've got to face, and that's that keratin is an animal
product.
Well, it's an yeah.
They haven't figured out how to synthesize it.
That's what I was just saying. They can't imitate it. They can't synthesize it because they can't quite get the magic of the little cysteine stuff that happens. The cysteine amino acid, it forms the inter and intramolecular bonds. It's very important to the strengthening claim or the desire to, you know, strengthen the hair. The keratin is going to be an important component. So I went a little bit further.
Yeah, where's it come from?
This is it. Where does it come from? So it comes from wool, feathers, nails, and horns of many kinds of animals. Okay, it's usually waste byproduct is used to make keratin, right?
Okay, so they used to make gelatin with hooves. Now they make keratin with hooves.
Well, they make both. I've seen some keratin ingredients sold from chemical suppliers that say from wool, okay?
Oh, like exclusively?
Yeah, like exclusively wool. So that's interesting. I ran into a patent that used keratin from feathers.
I'm okay with that too, because they got to pluck the chicken.
So indeed, keratin comes from animal byproducts, right?
Right.
But the good news is that no animals are killed for their keratin, right?
Yeah, that's better.
See, so it's not exactly like embryos or something like that, right?
Right.
We're talking about feathers. We're talking about wool. We're talking about horns and hoofs and
byproducts.
But just in case I went a little further, I wanted to know, how is it made? So I know in my mind that most proteins that are used in hair products are hydrolyzed, which means that they're kind of processed with either strong acid or strong alkaline or enzymes or whatever, right?
Right.
So I knew that, but I ran into a patent that gives me the method of hydrolyzing. I want to share this. Because we get this feeling, you know, we're so stuck in this natural products and naturally derived ingredients, thinking that it's so simple, right?
Yes.
Don't you sort of like equate natural to be simple, basic, simple?
Yeah, so I did before I met you.
So they boil the hair, the wool, the horns, the whatever. They boil it in a acid or an alkaline, and then you've got your keratin. No, wait a minute. I want to read you this process, but I don't want you to get stuck in it. So let it sort of flow over your brain like sprinkles, okay?
All right.
Here we go. The method of preparing a neutralized viscous liquid proteinaceous extract. I said all that, right?
Yeah.
So proteinaceous extract, which is useful as a skin conditioner, shampoo, and the like, comprising the steps of 1, heating an aqueous mixture of avian feather meal. So here they had avian feathers and they ground it into a meal, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You don't just like throw in some hooves and horns. You have to grind it down to be something that's going to be able to be processed. So feather meal and alkaline material. So first they're heating an aqueous mixture of avian feather meal and alkaline material, refluxing said mixture for several hours at 100 degrees centigrade under 1 atmosphere of pressure. Thereafter, cooling the reflux solution and filtering said solution to recover a proteinaceous extract, adding sufficient sulfuric acid to extract to reduce the pH to 3.0, removing the precipitate formed during the acidification of the extract by vacuum filtration. Are you with me?
They're cooking it in an Instant Pot.
We're not quite done. Then heating and evaporating approximately 1/2 by volume of the resultant concentrated viscous filtrate, adding sufficient alkali hydroxide to said viscous filtrate to neutralize the same to a pH of 7.0. They acidified it to 3.0, and then they're back now neutralizing it to 7.0, and finally, but not totally finishing, finally storing said proteinaceous extract at room temperature, and thereafter reheating the said extract to redissolve precipitate material to produce a clear viscous liquid lotion. Oh my God, that's quite a procedure, wouldn't you say?
All I can say is I bet it stinks.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I'm sure it stinks, but that's another issue. There's certain amino acids. When the amino acid balance is in a certain way, it doesn't stink so much. I think I ran into that somewhere in my swimming around this stuff. But just to kind of flesh out our understanding of, you know, keratin protein that we see on these products, like just like what the heck is that? Well, now you know it goes through quite a process between being an animal byproduct and becoming a keratin ingredient that can be used in a lotion or conditioner or whatever.
And as an ingredient, is it effective?
It's more effective than I might have originally thought. I have said it's sort of like throwing bricks at a brick house to replace the hole in the wall. That's not going to work, right?
Right.
however, with the hydrolyzed keratin, you know, this hydrolyzation, it breaks it down into amino acids. So then it's smaller molecular pieces. The iGroom shampoo has about 4 types of keratin ingredients, 4 keratin ingredients in there. And so there's one that's been made cationic. There's one that's more broken down. There's one that's just comes in many forms. So different forms of keratin added to a shampoo or a conditioner might have a different effect.
So basically try a bunch of different forms of it and hopefully something is beneficial in there.
Or what they're doing, what they seem to be doing in the iGroom product, it's kind of a shotgun approach.
Okay.
You know, like the iGroom shampoo contains hydrolyzed soy protein, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, hydrolyzed pea protein, keratin amino acid, cocodimonium hydroxypropyl hydrolyzed keratin, hydrolyzed pea protein PG propyl cilantriol, which is a pea protein silicone polymer, all of that in one product. It's a very complex and sophisticated formula, and it's also sort of like shotgun approach to the protein thing, right?
Yeah.
Like something's gonna work.
I like it. I like it.
I like it. But I think we do need to respect that this is a serious protein shampoo. And you may not always want a serious protein shampoo. Can you use too much protein, Susie? What do you think?
I think it would make the hair heavy. Am I thinking right?
Sometimes it makes the hair kind of, it over strengthens the hair, makes it kind of stiff. And then another thing that I read is that over proteinated hair can be kind of mushy to the touch instead of silky.
Okay, interesting.
But that's interesting. But I don't, you know, like I haven't experienced this keratin shampoo to be overdoing it in any way. It's just an interesting kind of approach to protein. Like, let's see how many kinds we can put in here.
Yeah.
In one product. You know, something's going to come of it.
I like the idea of trying all the different aspects. Maybe not always in one shampoo, but I'm willing to give it a go.
Okay.
Our definition du jour, of course, is sponsored by Show Season Products. So, Barbara, why don't you tell us about a product that you are interested in Show Season?
Well, I want to remind our groomers who are focused on getting natural products that Show Season has a really great line of 99% natural grooming products, shampoo and conditioner and some fragrances. It's a line that they took seriously. They took the demand for natural products seriously and took it upon themselves to see how close to 100% they could get and without trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They recognize that there's only so far you can get in a surfactant mixture shampoo thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the products work well. They have good fragrances and they satisfy your need, so be it, for a natural derived shampoo and conditioner, etc.
All right, if you guys want to check out the Show Season Natural line, go to showseasongrooming.com or give them a call at 678-382-0218. Or, of course, you can email the order to them if you're already set up. And you can find them at many of your local distributors like Groomers Mart and Cascade Grooming Supply. Also, I think we're going to call that a show because it's the holidays and because I've got to go groom this afternoon and because of 8 million different reasons. But
and I'm hungry.
And Barbara is hungry. So we'll just close the book on 2018 and we will welcome 2019 and lots more grooming fun to come. All right. Thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves. Love you.
Happy New Year.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
All right, now.
God, I say that every time. So we have...
God. It just pops out!
I know. I love that we entertain ourselves so well.